1 Samuel chapter 17. If you missed Facing Giants with Faith in God, part one, you need to go online and listen in to last week's and be encouraged through God's word. But tonight, let's start in verse 20, and we'll read on to the end of the chapter tonight. Verse 20, 1 Samuel 17, this is God's word. Early in the morning, David left the flock with a shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle position, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and greeted his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The Lord will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel." David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of a living God?" They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." "Now what have I done?" said David. "Can't I even speak?" He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. And the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy, and he has been a fighting man from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of a living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I'm not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I'll give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the scabbard. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. Then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath and to the gates of Ekron. Their dead were strewn along the Shaaraim road to Gath and Ekron. When the Israelites returned from chasing the Philistines, they plundered their camp. David took the Philistine's head and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put the Philistine's weapons in his own tent. As Saul watched David going out to meet the Philistine, he said to Abner, commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is that young man?" Abner replied, "As surely as you live, O king, I don't know." The king said, "Find out whose son this young man is." As soon as David returned from killing the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with David still holding the Philistine's head. "Whose son are you, young man?" Saul asked him. David said, "I am the son of your servant Jesse of Bethlehem." Amen. This is God's word for us tonight. With a very familiar story in David and Goliath, a very familiar opening illustration, one of the earliest, sermon illustrations that I remember, and it still provides a powerful illustration of the personal nature of faith. A far famed tightrope walker came to the Niagara Falls. He stretched his rope across the thunderous currents from Canada to the United States. Before the breathless multitudes, he walked, then ran across the falls. He did the same blindfolded with drums rolling. And then, still blindfolded, he pushed a wheelbarrow across the falls. The crowd went wild. The tightrope walker shouted to them, "Who believes I can push a man over in the wheelbarrow right across these falls?" And a gentleman in the front row waved his hand, shouting, "I do, I believe." Then said the tightrope walker, "Come and get in the wheelbarrow." To no surprise, the man's intellectual assent failed to translate into personal belief. He didn't do it. As we return to this amazing encounter tonight between David and Goliath, we find Israel facing a giant and lacking faith. Last week we took note that the enemy is real and the stakes are high. We thought on Goliath and saw his source, his size, his statement, his success, and the stakes. The soldiers of Israel are afraid. They are dismayed and they are terrified and they ran away in great fear. Of course, we remember that we face giants too. The enemy is real. The enemy is real for us and the stakes are high for us. Satan is real, and he does seek to draw us away from the Lord and to discredit the Lord in the process. Difficulties do come in life. We're not immune to them as believers. But listen, whatever giant you may face, you can do so with faith in God. Tonight, as we continue looking at this chapter, we are encouraged to be facing giants with faith in God. David enters the story. And we see his incredible faith. He saw the giant and he said, "God can defeat him." He saw the giant and said, "My God is bigger than him." He saw the giant and said, "The Lord will hand him over to me." David's faith was not a mere intellectual assent, though. He didn't just say, "I believe," but he acted on his belief and put that faith into practice. And friend, maybe right there is a word for you tonight. It's time to stop simply saying, "I believe, I have faith." It's time to put that belief into action, to put that faith into practice. There may be a giant in your life, but God is greater. Let's be facing giants with faith in God. As David enters the scene tonight, though, we discover that the battle is the Lord's, and the victory is his. The battle is the Lord's and the victory is his. Every day for 40 days, this giant Goliath appeared before the armies of Israel and he mocked them. He cursed their God and he challenged them to send someone out to fight him. Verses 10, verse 16. He did this every morning, every evening for 40 days.
And every day Saul and the army of Israel trembled in their armor and were afraid to go and to fight this giant. Everyone was in despair. Things looked difficult. In fact, they probably looked impossible for Israel. It must have looked like the Philistines would win this battle. But then along comes a young man called David. And verse 12 reminds us of his background and his family. He's the youngest of eight with the three oldest brothers following Saul to the war. Verse 15 reminded us that David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. David is still playing the harp to soothe Saul in his struggles. He's still shepherding his father's flocks. And let's remember in all of this that God has already chosen him as the next king of Israel and had Samuel anoint him. Of course, not everyone knows this yet. Jesse sends David with supplies for his brothers. And when David arrives at the place of battle, he is speaking with his brothers when all of a sudden Goliath makes one of those twice daily appearances and repeats his challenge and his taunts. This time things were going to be a little bit different. Oh, the soldiers still panicked. We see that in verse 24, when the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. They still panicked. But this time, Goliath and his threats were heard by a young man who believed God. And David stands up and he says, "My God is greater. Why are you fearing this uncircumcised foreigner?" David has faith in God. He has known God's presence. He has known God's provision. He has known God's protection. And he trusts God, and he walks in God's ways. And so instead of facing the giant with fear, David faces this giant with faith in God. David shows us what faith does when faith is faced with giants, with battles, with obstacles. And it is those qualities of faith that I simply want us to see tonight as we remember that the battle is the Lord's and the victory is his. The first thing to notice is that faith reacts. Faith reacts. David is there as this giant comes out, and he sees the reaction of the soldiers. They're afraid. They're terrified. They run away, and he listens as they share their fear in verse 25. Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. He also hears in the process of that the king has offered a reward to anyone who's brave enough to take up the challenge to face the giant. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel. And an incredible thought, giving great wealth, giving the king's daughter so he immediately becomes part of the royal family. Exempt, his whole family exempt from paying taxes. When David heard the challenge, when he heard the blasphemies of Goliath, when he heard that Saul was going to richly bless the man who defeated this giant, David made up his mind that he was going to be that man. He asks again in verse 26, what will be done for the man who overcomes Goliath? And look at the language he uses, the manner in which he speaks. What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David recognizes that the Philistine is an enemy of God. He sees him as a disgrace to the nation of Israel. He's standing in the way of God's will being done. For Israel, Goliath represented a stumbling block to the will of God being accomplished. This giant was standing in the way of God's business, and he had to go. David's faith would not allow him to idly stand by while Goliath defied the God of heaven. And so he reacts in faith. David sees the danger, but he knows how great his God is. This giant has to go. And there's a lesson in this for us as believers, I think. When the Lord saved us, he placed his Holy Spirit within each of our hearts. And now when one of life's giants appears in our view, there rises up within the heart of the child of God a desire to see that giant fall. All around there may be those who tell us that the giant is too strong, that we are unable to overcome it. But while the world and the faithless cry out, God can't, there is one in our hearts who rises up and declares with all the force that he possesses, God can. God can. What I'm trying to tell you is that faith is not content to let the devil, the world, or the obstacles that hinder the work of the Lord win the battles of life. Faith demands victory over these things. Therefore, we can say that faith reacts. Are there giants in your life tonight? Are you facing difficulties and challenges? Then don't be fearful. Don't listen to the world around. Instead, listen to the Holy Spirit within you and rise up in faith and face that challenge head on. Put your faith in God. For as we will see, he is able to defeat the giant and to bring you the victory. Not only does faith react, but see that faith resolves. David decides the giant has to fall. He makes up his mind that Goliath must die. He resolves to overcome fear with faith. Look at verse 32. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Of course, as people look at David, they only see a little shepherd boy, young in years, wet behind the ears, idealistic perhaps, certainly not able to stand and to take on this giant of a warrior. Starts with his older brother. As David is asked about the reward for defeating the enemy, see there that Eliab heard him, and it says in verse 28 that he burned with anger at him. Eliab tells David that he's just there to show off, to see and to be seen. "Why have you come down?" he says. "With whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are, how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." Brotherly love, right there, isn't it? That great brotherly love that says, "Come on now, what are you doing here? You shouldn't be here. You're only here to see what's going on. You're no use. Get back to the sheep. Get back to where you belong." But it's not just opposition from his family. David turns from Eliab and discusses the same matters with another. David is overheard and it's reported to Saul, and Saul calls for him. Even Saul listens to David and then responds with that, "You can't possibly do this, chap." Verse 33, you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy. He's been a fighting man from his youth. You're just a kid. Goliath is a real man. He's a real warrior. What would you do with supporters like this, friends? Who needs enemies when you've got friends like that in your life? Yet David's not put off. He knows what his heart is saying to him. He knows what needs done, and he knows the one who can empower him to do it. Faith had reacted within him, and he resolved to do something about the giant. And friends, the same happens to each one of us. When your faith reacts and resolves to simply believe God by faith, there will always be that crowd who will pop up and tell you that you can't do it. They'll talk about you behind your back, sometimes to your face. They'll say things to you like, "Who does he think he is? Some kind of super saint? You know you can't do that. You don't have the money. You've not got the education. You've not got the training. Or she's too young to think that she can follow God like that." Friend, don't let that crowd get to you. They tried it with David. Listen, the crowd tried it with Jesus over and over again. David prevailed by faith. Jesus prevailed by faith. And listen, you and I can prevail by faith tonight as well. Faith reacts by wanting God's glory, and faith resolves to overcome for God's glory. And then we see that faith remembers. It remembers. When David hears the objections of Saul, he doesn't go and sulk in the corner, nor does he give up thinking he can't do it. He simply remembers how God has been with him in the past. He recalls the struggles. He recalls the difficulties, the time he faced giants, and he remembered how God had helped him through, how God delivered him, how God provided for him, and God saved the day. He checks the memory banks and reports it to Saul. He opens a diary and shares the contents. He analyzes the ledger and publishes the results. David looks back and he shares how God was at work. He points to God. His faith is in God. Verse 34. But David said to Saul, "Your servant's been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. I struck it, rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." What made David so determined to defeat Goliath? It's the same thing that motivated him to kill the lion and the bear. As the shepherd of the flock, he was responsible for protecting the sheep. So he killed any attackers and delivered the sheep. When it came to Israel, David had already been anointed to be the next king of Israel. Do you remember that? Samuel anointed him. Out of all of Jesse's sons, it was David who was anointed to be the next king. In effect, he was going to be the shepherd of Israel. And when he saw the people being attacked by Goliath, being challenged by this giant, being made fun of by this big man, he just reacted with the heart of a shepherd. Like what David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." He knew the outcome before the battle took place. How? Faith remembers. Faith remembers what God has done in the past. And faith knows that God doesn't change. What he did then, he is still doing now. So friends, when difficulties come in your life, when challenges arise, when struggles surface, look back. Remember what God has done before, because listen, he can and he will do again and greater things still. God is the same yesterday, today, forever. He does not change. Let me remind you tonight that God is still the same God who stepped out from the behind the curtain of nowhere onto the stage of nothing and spoke everything into existence. He is still the same God who hung the stars in their sockets and placed the planets in their orbits. He still owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's still the same God who saved you by grace when you exercised that little mustard seed-sized grain of faith. He is still the one. He is still the one who can meet that need for you. He is still the one who touched that loved one and healed them for you. He's still the one who has never failed you to this point in time. He is still worthy of your faith and trust. Faith remembers. Faith remembers. What has God done in your life? We sang a little bit ago, didn't we? And give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. Would you give thanks tonight for what God has done in your life before? And know tonight, no matter what difficulty you face, he can and he still will be able to help you through that today. And because of all of that, faith relies. Faith relies on God. Faith relies that what God has done before, he will do again. Faith relies on the fact that God will save the day. Faith relies on the fact that God will defeat all his enemies. Faith relies on the fact that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. And so David relies on God. He knows God has delivered him before and he trusts God can do and indeed will do again. And Saul seems to accept this at this point in time in verse 37 as he says, "Go and the Lord be with you." It wasn't just quite that simple for Saul, of course. "Go and the Lord be with you." And he says, "But hang fire a minute. Let me put my armor on you first." And he tried to give him all of this, but it's too big, of course, too wieldy, too much of a hindrance to a young lad like David. David's used to his sling. He's used to his staff. He's used to his shepherd's instincts. When he fought the bear and the lion, all he had was his staff, his sling, and his Lord. If he's going to face this giant, then he will rely on those things that have never failed him before. He takes off Saul's armor. David takes his staff, his sling. He stops by the brook. He selects for himself 5 smooth stones. What are those five smooth stones? People have tried from pulpits to tell you what those five smooth stones are. They're just five stones out of a brook. That's all they are. And he goes out to meet Goliath. And the Philistine is insulted when he sees this young slip of a lad approaching him. Verse 42, it says that he looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He curses David, tells him he's going to feed him to the birds and the beasts. Goliath's speech is a short one, but David's got a little bit more in his heart. He tells Goliath that the battle is the Lord's before the sun goes down, that both Goliath and Israel will know that the Lord is God. Look at verse 45. I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel. Verse 46, this day the Lord will hand you over to me. Verse 46, further down in verse 46, it says the whole world will know that there's a God in Israel. Verse 47, all those gathered here will know that it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. David says again and again, you're going down, and God's going to do it. You're going down, and God's going to do it. David trusts in God. He relies on God. The giant Goliath came with strength and power. He came with spear and sword and shield, and David comes with God. And we need to remember always that anyone plus God is a majority. Anyone plus God is a majority. This is the essence of genuine faith. It doesn't look at human ability. It doesn't see the size of the obstacle. It doesn't concern itself with such mundane thoughts as I can't, I don't know how, it's never been done before. No, faith says God can and God will. Giant, you are finished because the Lord has already delivered you into my hands. Friends, this approach still works today. Rely on God. He will see you through. I had all kinds of fear about the giant of leaving work and answering God's call into ministry all of those years ago. How will we survive? How will we eat? How will we afford this? And then you get to the more difficult stuff. How on earth am I going to manage to get a university degree, by the way? How am I going to survive Baptist College? How can I preach? And then you get to all of the other questions that come after that. How can I preach twice a week every week for 13 years? How can I pastor a church? And in the end, I have to stop looking at the problems. And I had to start looking at the God who had never failed me before, who had always provided for me and had always led me through. My faith relied on God, and he is still leading me through right to this moment today. Friend, genuine faith looks beyond the problem to see the God who is able. To see the God who is able. Call your attention back to Ephesians 3:20 again. Notice the phrase, now to him who is able. Able to do what? Able to do immeasurably more than all we ask. Ask. You name it. And that's what he's able to do. So why is it we don't ask? If God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, if he's able to accomplish all things, if he's able to defeat the giant in our lives, then why don't we ask him? He is able. He is able to heal you from that sickness. He is able to take away that fear of living. He is able to overcome that problem with a job. He is able to heal the heart, the wounds of heart and abuse. He's able to overcome the difficulties of loneliness. He is able to triumph over all of those eating problems. He's able to lift the clouds of depression. He's able to remove the worries, the anxieties. He is able to do all things. Trust in him. Put your faith in God. Step out in faith. Step into that wheelbarrow and let him carry you through the tightrope of life. Incredible. Faith reacts. Faith resolves. Faith remembers. Faith relies on God. And just look as the chapter heads to a close at how faith receives. Faith receives. It's strange to have a victory speech before the fight. But such was David's faith. He stops speaking and quickly runs towards the battle line, verse 48. We know how this goes. We've heard the story right from the very beginning. He reaches into his bag. He grabs a stone. He puts it in the sling. He swung it round and round. You remember, some of you are too young, but some of you older ones will remember, only a boy called David, only a rippling brook, only a boy called David. Five little stones he took, one little stone he put in his sling, and it went round and round and round and round, and then I forget the rest. You can remind me afterwards, but you know what happened? He swung that sling around, and the stone struck the Philistine on the forehead, and it's over. The giant Goliath falls face down. The giant's toppled. This must have been the only exposed part of his body, by the way. He had armor covering everything else. Just go back and check out verses 4 and 6 from last week. And do you know that this was the first time that anything like that had ever entered Goliath's head? He thought he could always win. But there, just in that moment, ping. Verse 50, so David triumphed over the Philistine. With a sling and a stone, without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David had promised to cut off his head, but he doesn't have a sword with him, does he? What does he do? He simply ran up, grabbed the giant's own sword, and cut his head off. And the Philistines run. The Israelites chase after them and slaughter them. Actually, just as a little thought, by the way, who was with Goliath when he went out in the middle? Do you remember the earlier verses from last week? When we spoke about all of Goliath's armor. It says there was a shield bearer carrying his shield with him. I've often wondered to myself, what did he do? This little boy David's, boop, what does the shield bearer do? He must have run for his life in that moment. Or was stuck to the spot or something. He's been useless. David overcame. And he runs up, grabs the sword, cuts his head off. The Philistines run. The Israelites chase them and slaughter them. God brought the victory that day for David and for Israel. David received the object of his faith, the death of the giant, because he believed God. He believed God. He trusted God. He depended on God. And in his faith in God caused him to act. And God brought him the victory that day. When did Goliath die? An interesting question for you. When did Goliath die? Verse 49? I'm not so sure. Verse 50? I'm not with that. Verse 51? No. I actually think Goliath died back in verse 26 when David, by faith, asked what would be given to the man who killed the Philistine. In David's mind, Goliath was already dead at that point. He was already dead at that point. David had the faith to know that God would deal with this uncircumcised Philistine. Faith won the victory the instant it was placed in God. And there's a truth for us to grasp and to hold on to, friends. The victory is won when faith is exercised in God. When he is honored by faith, he will in turn honor that faith. You know, we could have spent much more time in the nitty-gritty of this chapter, but I wanted us just to grab the remarkable truth that the enemy is real and the stakes are high, but the battle is the Lord's and the victory is his. David faced the giant with faith in God. His faith reacted to the challenge before him. His faith resolved to stand up and defeat the giant in his way. His faith remembered God's protection and provision and power in the past, and his faith relied completely on the Lord Almighty. And his faith received the just reward. God won the victory and defeated the giant. David realized that Goliath had no right to defy the armies of the living God. And listen, friends, Satan has no right to defy any of us who are God's children. Victory over Satan was won at the cross. Don't ever forget that. Satan has no power over you today, because Jesus has dealt with it on the cross of Calvary. David confronted the giant in the name of his God. Let's make sure we confront our giants in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we trust him, he will give the strength to defeat any giant. Friend, I have no idea what giant you're facing just now, but whatever it is, name it. Name it and recognize that it's real. Think about how the giants of circumstance and opposition have combined to keep you enslaved to fear. Sometimes have driven you almost to the brink of despair. How much longer will you hide in the rocks of fear? When are you going to step into the valley and face the giant eyeball to eyeball? But the giant is big, you say. True. That's why they call him a giant. He's fearful. I'm sure he is. I might get hurt if I stand against him. That's true. There are always 1,000 reasons to run away when Goliath stands before you. But whenever you're tired of running, the Lord stands ready to walk into the valley with you. Sooner or later, you've got to peek over the top of the ridge and look into the valley and take that first step of faith. It won't be easy. There are no guarantees. But you'll never know until you take your heart and your hands and you step forward by faith. Faith is not talking about the giant, analyzing the giant, praying about the giant. Big talk will never slay Goliath. Faith is taking that first step. Knees knocking, hands shaking, with fear and trembling, going into the valley in the name of the Lord of hosts. You can take that first step, not because you think you can do it, but because you know in yourself you can't. Therefore, you know that if the giant is defeated, it's because God has done it in you and through you. Friends, maybe it's time tonight for you to start facing giants with faith in God. Time for you to take that first step forward. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you for all of these incredible stories in Scripture, these remarkable events that happened and are written down for us. We want to thank you for the faith of a boy called David. We want to thank you for the way that he was able to face the obstacle, the problem, the difficulty, the giant in his life with faith in you. Lord, would you help us to have a faith like his, a faith that reacts to the challenge, a faith that resolves to stand up and defeat the problem before us, a faith that remembers who God is, that remembers God's protection and God's provision and God's power in the past. Help us to have a faith that relies completely on you. And Father God, may you grant us the reward of our faith. Father God, we pray that you would be with us. Lord, particularly I want to pray for any in this room tonight who are struggling, who face those problems, who have those difficulties before them, who face giants. Lord, I pray tonight that you would help them to face those giants with faith in you. Lord, would you help them to recognize that you are always with them, that they need not fear. Lord, I pray that you would help them to take that peek over the top and to take that first step forward. And Lord, would you reward that faith as they go strong in your name. Lord, would you remove our fears? And would you help us to trust in you alone? We thank you that you're a faithful God. We thank you that what you have done before, you can and you will do again and so much more. And Lord, we thank you that you are able to do all things, if we simply ask. So Lord, would you hear our prayers tonight? Would you allow us to ponder your words in the coming days? Lord, I pray that you take away anything that's of man in this. Let remain only that which is of you and is your word. Lord, allow us to process it. Allow us to apply it. And Lord, help us to step forward in faith. For we ask it all in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.